Okay, today I want to continue our discussion of the Aleph Beis. We're up to the letter Chaf. Correct. Okay. I test you every day if you know your Aleph Beis. Okay, we're up to the letter Chaf. Letter Chaf is it's a difficult letter. That's a difficult letter to research. It's getting harder and harder as we go through the Aleph Beis.
What's going to happen when you're running out of letters?
Ooh.
The session is the mother of invention.
According to the Gemara, that's always a safe place to start. The letter Chaf represents the concept of a keseh. We always have to go to our sources. The Gemara Masechta Shabbos, let's review all the letters. Aleph Beis, Aleph Bina, learn Torah. Gimel Dalet, Gimel Dalem, bestow, be kind to the poor. Hey Vav, Zo Shmo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then we had Zion, if you'll do so, if you'll be kind to the poor. The Gemara says, if you'll be kind to the poor, then Hashem, Hey Vav, Zion Ches, Zon, will give you Parnasa. The Chon will be graceful to you. Tes, he'll be meitiv lach, he'll be good to you. Yud, he'll give you a Yerusha. And then Chaf. The words of the Gemara are, he'll be koisher, he will tie upon you a keser. So according to the Gemara, it's a beautiful series of blessings that Chazal, the Gemara, is giving us. That according to the Gemara, starting with Zayin, Zon, Parnasa, and Hatova, to be good, Tov, Gashon, be good to us. He'll give us a Yerusha, a spiritual Yerusha, and then he will tie upon us a crown, Keser. Now it's interesting that the way the Gemara describes the keser is kosher. If you would ask the average person how you affix a crown upon a person, you would say you put a crown. You put the crown on someone, you place it. To tie it? That's not the term you would use in reference to a crown. You don't tie the crown on the Queen of England. So the fact that the Gemara says kosher, it appears that we're not dealing with an ordinary crown. We're dealing with something like tefillin. Tefillin is something, it doesn't even say kshir, right? It doesn't say kshir, v'ksharetam lo'os tzuks parashas bo. K'sharetam v'hoyolach lo'os ha'yadcho ul'zikaron b'nei necha, v'ksharetam lo'os al yadcho ul'toytofos b'nei necha, v'hoyul l'toytofos. It doesn't really say kosher. If I'm not mistaken, the word kosher is not written specifically in reference to the tefillah shel rosh. It's said more in focus to the tefillah shel yad. But yet, of course, our meaning is we tie, we have a kesher shel tefillin, the dalet on the back, but the chaf somehow comes along, is related. I don't know the significance. A lot of things I'm going to tell you today, I don't know the significance. I just want to throw out some ideas. But the letter chaf somehow relates to the idea of the tefillin. Because the chaf is what the Gemara says, the keser, the crown. And it's described in the Gemara as something which you tie. And tefillin is the only keser which we tie upon our heads. And we know that that keser is the ultimate keser. V'rohu kol amei ha'aretz k'shem Hashem nikra olecha v'yaru mimecha. When the nations of the world will see that the crown, that the shem Hashem is upon us, they will be afraid of us. And Chazal tell us, what is it that they see that the shem Hashem is upon us? Zo tefillah shel rosh. These are the tefillin. The tefillin is when they see that we internalize the meaning of the tefillin, the shin is the shem Hashem shakai, it's upon us, they are afraid of us. And that tefillin corresponds to the fourth crown of the Pirkei Avos. There are the Pirkei Avos, it says there are four crowns: the Keser Kohuna, Keser Malchus, Keser Torah, the Keser Shem Tov, Oile Al Gabeim. Keser Kohuna is Aaron HaKoyen, he wears the tzitz, and then there's the Keser Malchus is the Shulchan, and then there is the Keser Torah is the Torah on the Aron. There is a Keser which surrounds the Aron HaKodesh. The Keser Shem Tov Oila Al Gabeim. So what's the Keser Shem Tov? Your good name. So Josh, whose name? The Keser Shem Tov, the good name. Whose good name? Your good name. Well, yes, that's the simple interpretation. But on a much deeper level, the good name is Hashem. Hashem HaTov. V'ro kol amaretz ki shem Hashem nikre olecha v'yadu mineka. The tefillin, the keser shem toiv oile al gabeim is the chaf. The koyesher lecha keser. Hashem will tie upon you a keser. The keser that Hashem is tying in the tefillin shel roish. The tefillin shel roish is the shem Hashem. V'ro kol amaretz ki shem Hashem nikre olecha v'yadu mineka. Okay, now that we've brought out into the open that Chaf is the Keser, so I have no shame in a little discussing Keser. What is Keser all about? So this is a very famous part, which, you know, the truth is, even though it's very famous, I don't remember it exactly, so if I'm making a mistake, you'll help me, because I'm just recalling from memory. First of all, by the way, what is Keser in the Gematria? 620. That's a very important number in Judaism. The number 620, people think that 613 is the most important number because there are 613 mitzvahs. And we discussed this at great, right, we discussed at great length that this is only because Rabbi Feivel Reis, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, influenced me. He was a rabbi of Yeshua at one point, right? So he gave a very, very powerful drasha where he described that the number 613 is only true according to the Talmud Bavli. I discussed with you Talmud Bavli and some Midrashim, but you should be aware that not all of the sources agree that the number 613 is the only number. It's after the Gemara said there are 613, it all came the Rambam, the Chinuch, the Smag, the Smak, to try to figure out what are the 613 mitzvahs. But not everyone necessarily agrees that there are 613 mitzvahs. Maybe there are more, maybe there are less. But assuming that there are 613 mitzvahs, there are an additional 7 mitzvahs derabanan. There are 7 mitzvahs derabanan. So when you add 7 to 613, we have a grand total of 720 keser. So keser represents the totality of the mitzvahs, including the mitzvos of the Torah and the koyach that the Torah has given the Rabbanan, Torah Lava Shemaimi. The Torah has given man the koyach to enhance the Torah with under certain set of rules to add more mitzvos, which are the 7 mitzvos to Rabbanan, for a grand total of 620, which is the gematria of keser. Keser yidnu l'cha hamoni mata. So this is what we say in the Misal Dab Davin Svai, say Keser. Now, how many tefillos, a very beautiful word, how many tefillos, why do we say Keser on Shabbos Musaf? Why not say Keser? Now, I don't say Keser, I know Davin Ashkenaz, and I assume most of you Davin Ashkenaz, so you don't say Keser, so you don't even know what Keser is. You know what Keser is? You say Davin, you Davin Svart?
Yes.
You don't Davin Svart?
Yes.
Oh, you're Rosh Tivo, so already, it's too late. It's too late for you.
Yes,
too late for you. You go to Rosh Tivo. I also go to Rosh Tivo. I remember Yachai. I remember how you would scream Yachai. I don't remember Keser from the Shtibel. I remember Yachai. I know I have someone who he's already married, probably close to 50 years, and he tells me that Ad Hayom Hazeh, his wife grew up in a shtibul, whatever, his wife, and she married him. He's a Litvak, a Mesnagid. And ever since they got married, they've been davening. She has been following his minug. She comes with him to shul, wherever he davens, in this place, that place, this yeshiva. And he told me that his wife, the first time they got married, he took her to his, wherever he davened, and they didn't say Keser by Musaf. And she was in shock. she thought she was in a reform shul. They didn't. The whole the greatest pleasure she had in davening was keser. And now they've been married, Baruch Hashem, 50 years. Ken Yerbu.
She's still complaining.
She's still complaining every time. There's a simcha. The first thing she wants to know is, do they say keser? They go for a kiss, they go to a shul.
It
made such an impression on her youth. 50 years later, doesn't make you can't shake off the absence of keser. Why do we say keser? Musaf Shabbos Musaf. You don't say keser any other tefillah. There is one other keser. You say Rosh Chodesh. You say the short keser. Right? You don't say the full version. You say the shorter version of keser. But you say keser mainly on Shabbos Musaf, and of course Yom Tov Musaf, and Rosh Chodesh, and Chol Hamoed, the short keser. Okay. But why? So it's a beautiful drush. How many tefillos, you have to hold it, keep chashim with me. How many tefillos do we dive in? How many tefillos do we dive in a week? So let me make a calculation with you. Okay, bear with me. Oh no, where are the numbers? I don't know how to add. I hope I have my numbers here somewhere. Oh no. It has to be here. Just give me upside down. I got it. Okay. Let's make a calculation. How many brachas are there in Shemona Esrei?
19.
Shemona Esrei, 18. 18 equals 18 in Jewish is 19.
Right.
Why? Because it's not really 18, it's really 19. We have Vilama Lashinim. Correct? So there are 19 brachas. How many times a day do we recite the Shemona Esrei?
Three.
No, five. Why five? Chazar Sashatz. You don't listen to Chazar Sashatz into Amin Shemei Koine. So you have Shachris Mincha Ma'ariv, three, plus the Chazar Sashatz for Shachris, Chazar Sashatz for Mincha. Right? So they are, that's fair game. No, so far everything is fair. No dichuim. Five times a day do you hear every single bracha of the Shemona Esrei. Every single word. You say it yourself three times a day, 19 brachas, and you hear the shatz recite 19 brachas twice a day. For a grand total of five. So what is 19 multiplied by five? 95. Now, how many days of the week are there?
Seven.
I don't know about you, I don't know, there are 6 days of the week. There are 6 days of the week. So 6 times 95 equals 570. So far, until we get to Shabbos, everyone is safe, right? We're safe. We have 570 brachas. That's quite a bit.
How about the morning
brachas? No, we're talking about Shemona Esrei brachas. Right, the 100 brachas day. Mo Hashem. Now, let's just talk about the Shemona Esrei. I want to zoom in on the brachos of the Shemona Esrei. So during the week, Sunday through Friday, we recite 570 brachos of Amida Lifneim. The Shemona Esrei is in the league by itself. Yo'oime Lifneim Melech Malchei Hamlacham, a private audience. During that private audience, 6 days a week, you recite 570 brachos. Okay, now let's go to Shabbos. Shabbos is a little more confusing. Shabbos, generally, we only have 7 brachas. The first 3 brachas, the last 3 brachas, and the bracha Kedusha Sayyam. Right, you have Avos, Tchias, Amesim, and Kedusha, the first 3, the Eni of Avoid, Ritzei, Moedim, and Sim Shalom, and then there's a middle bracha, and the middle bracha, you have Ata Kidashta, Yismach Moshe, Ata Elchar, and then there's Musaf, of Tikkun to Shabbos. Now, so let's see, Friday night we have 7 brachas. But Friday night we do something very unique. And we recite Chazar Sashatz, a condensed version. It's the only time, a trivia question, trick your grandchildren, when do you ever recite Chazar Sashatz at night? The only time you recite Chazar Sashatz at night is Friday night. Mogi Novos. Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokei Nuvu, Elokei Seinu, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibah, Vadavah, Hakel, Yom, Konei, Shemayim, Varet. That is Chazar Sashatz. It's mamish, Atkadei Kach, that's supposed to, you have to bow down. The Shatz puts feet together, he bows down, Baruch Atah Hashem. It's a real Chazar Sashatz. It's a condensed version. It's a condensed version. Everything has been fashtut into one bracha. Because it's late, you have to go home and eat. Why do we do it? People come late. Whatever, that's a story to itself. But it is a very holy bracha. You're oimei lifnei hamelech v'geder Chazar Sashatz for that when you recite Mogein Ovos. So that is 8. Friday night is 7 plus 1. Okay, that's 8. Now, what else do we have on Shabbos? Well, we have Shachris. Shachris is 14. You say the 7 brachas yourself, and the Chazar Sashat 7 brachas. Mincha, 7 plus 7, 14. So basically, that's 28. Let's go step by step. I laid out for you basically Shabbos day. We have 570. Let's go slow. We have 570 for the first 6 days of the week. Let's focus on Shachris and Mincha. Shachris and Mincha is a grand total of 28. 7 times 4. You say Shachris, you say Mincha. The Shatz says Shachris, Shatz. 28. So 570 plus 28 equals? 598. What's wrong?
Nothing wrong, but you can simplify it. You said there are...
I know, I like to make things complicated. That's the difference between...
There are 7 of those.
What's the difference between a professional and a professional and an amateur? A professional makes something very complicated looks simple. An amateur makes something very something very simple complicated. So I'm trying to make something very simple complicated. 570 brachas. 570 brachas. 28 shachris and mincha. 598. Now let's add Friday night. Friday night is 8. Grand total of 606. Now, Musaf. How many Musafim do we daven? You daven Musaf, and the Shatz daven Musaf. That's 14. What is 606 plus 14? 620. Ooh, what do you mean 622? 620. 620. What is the gematria of Keser? 620. So why do you say Keser by Musaf? Because this is the extra tefillah when the shatz will now get up to the, this is the extra tefillah, even though you haven't done mincha yet, but that's all part of the picture. When you the extra tefillah that you the extra tefillah is musaf, you daven your musaf. Now when the shatz is going to daven musaf, it's going to be mashlim the number 620. By the Shliach Tzibur davening on Musaf and Shabbos, we're now going to have the week will conclude with 620 brachas. That's why we say together with the Shatz, Keser Yitnulach. We give you the Keser. Okay, this is a beautiful drush, the number of why we say Keser while the Nusach Svat. So go say this to a Litvak. Well, so what's Keser? You don't even know what Keser is.
That's a gematria.
Okay, fine, but it's a good one, though. It's a good one.
If it fell short, you have to get on how many shots you have to...
No, this is much better than that. No, this is solid. It's a very this solid stuff. This is Shmona Esrei. These are the number of the brachas. It really holds water. This is as good as it gets.
Shouldn't Keser be at the end of Mincha?
Yeah, it should be at the end of Mincha.
You have to put it solid, and they say it's the end of Mincha. So at the end of Sim Shalom, you have to put it somewhere. So this is the most appropriate place. The whole week together, a whole week we have 620 brachas. What?
That's on a good week.
Put it in the beginning.
That's on a good
Shachris? It's what's unique. This is what's unique to Shabbos is the Musaf, and we say Kedusha. It's pretty good. Believe me, I've seen. We've all seen gematrias that don't come near this. This is pretty good.
Yeah. Those people never said Keser.
Well, you go back, everything has been hugging involved.
Yeah, I mean, they changed.
Okay, so when did Keser first begin? 400 years ago? So probably 400 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay, the Chanamis, everything, all the Minhagim are like that. All the Minhagim go back, a lot of them go back.
All adaptable.
Okay, the Chanamis, 100%. The whole Simchas Torah is all a minute. Okay, let's go further. Now, by the way, just this Derech, once we're talking about Keser, Derech Agav, then why don't you wear tefillin when you daven Musaf? We learned this in Mishnah Berurah, Chelek Dal. Why don't you wear tefillin when you recite Musaf on Rosh Chodesh? So the Mishnah Berurah, pretty much Nusach Ashkenaz doesn't make any says because it's a yomtiv. Since when we recite the Musaf, it's a geder of a yomtiv. You only recite Musaf on a yomtiv. On yomtiv, you do not wear tefillin because yomtiv is an ois. It's a partial minhag. It's not a complete. You have to make a pshar. It's not a complete yomtiv. You do malacha. You allow to do malacha, and. And it's not really a yomtiv. It's only a semi yomtiv. So there's a pshara at the time when you recite the musafim, which is the essence of the yomtiv, the element of the day. The Mishnah Berurah says that's why we do not wear tefillin when we recite musaf, because it's a partial yomtiv. So when we recite the kabbalas that relate to the yomtiv element of the day, we take off our tefillin. Nusach Svar doesn't have this problem because Nusach Svar, they say Keser on Rosh Chodesh. Keser, they say the short Keser, the shorter version of Keser, and therefore they explain the reason why you don't wear tefillin. It's not proper to say to Hashem Keser Yitnu Lecha when we're wearing a Keser. In order to give the Keser to Hashem, you don't wear it. It's not Derech Eretz for you to wear a Keser. The tefillin is the Kosher, what the Gemara says. What is the letter Chof? The Kosher Lecha Keser. I will tie for you a keser. It's not proper for you to be wearing your keser when you're saying to Hashem, keser yidnu l'cha. Okay, let's go to another idea. Now, this idea comes from my Lubavitch Sefer, and the name of the Sefer is written by Rav Yitzchak Ginsberg. It's called The Hebrew Letters, Channels of Creative Consciousness. It's an incredible Sefer, unbelievable Sefer. I don't even know if it's in print. And a lot of the things I told you come from that Sefer. I told you, I prepared from four Sfarim, from Rav Yechiel Michel Stern, Sefer on the Aleph Beis, which has been published only a few months ago, and from the famous, very well famous book from Rav Monk, Monk Art Scroll, the Aleph Beis, The Wisdom of the Hebrew Alphabet, and then from this awesome Sefer from Yitzchak Ginsberg on the Hebrew letters, and then from a Sefer called Katan V'Gadol, has every single small and large letter in the entire Tanakh, and has a likud of the significance of what the commentators say, what the significance of why they're small and big. So in the Sefer, a lot of the Sefer from Yitzchak Ginsberg, he's a Lubavitcher. And a lot of his Torah comes from the Sfarim of the Lubavitcher Rebbes, including the most recent Lubavitcher Rebbe and his predecessors. And he says there's most of the things he says there, about 95% of what he says I never repeat because I don't understand. It's all Kabbalah and it's very complicated gematrias. But every so often I'm able to pick up a gem. And he says that Chaf is, when you spell Chaf, there are two letters, Chaf Pei. How do you spell Chaf? Everything is Chaf Pei. Chaf, he says, is koyach. Pei is poyel. Which means, koyach means potential. Poel means actuality. So his words are, the letter Chaf, what it really represents, is a very deep idea, which I have no idea. Maral, exactly. Maral is the master of abstractions. And you have to delve into the... Koyach upoyel. So his exact words are, he has an expression where everything is upside down, right side up. The Chaf Pei is... Okay, I can't find the call. I'll come to it at some point in time over here. It is the... When I prepare, I go like this. I have a little thing like this. That's why. So when I open it up, it gets confusing. Okay. Koyach here it is. It is koyach hapoyel benifal. Koyach hapoyel benifal. What it means is the realizing of your potential. That's really what it means. Every person has koyach chof. Has koyach. Koyach is potential. And there's poyel. To achieve, to actualize your potential. That is chaf. Chaf is the spectrum. From the potential to the bringing your potential into the realm of reality. To make it, to be fulfilled. Actualize. To actualize your potential. And he develops this in great detail, but he says that's what it has to mean because these two letters, Chaf and Pei, is that's how you spell Koyach, that's how you spell Chaf, and it captures these two letters. Now, let's discuss just a couple of things that Nan, Chaf, there are many different, the word Chaf is all over Tanakh. For example, Chaf is Kaf. Mm-hmm. What is Kaf? Kaf is the shorish of the word kapof, of your palm, of your hand. And the fact that has triggered a lot of discussion of what's the difference between the yud and the chof, the two that juxtaposed. Yud, we discussed last week, is yad. Yud, 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 how do you spell yud? Yudalit. Yud vav dalit. In short, it's yudalit, without the vav. What's yudalit? Yad. What is chof? Chof pei, kaf. The palm. What's the chilek between the yad and the calf? The calf is the palm, is the palm of the yad. The two are really, you can't really separate the calf from the yad. They're two words which mean the same. What exactly is the difference? The connotation of the difference. So they explain that the yad represents an idea of power. Yad is your koyach, your might. Calf means what you have accomplished. Calf has more of a connotation of a receptacle. It's the palm of my hand. What And yad is like this, the klechu poil idea. Yad is, I have power to do whatever I want. Okay, good, you have all the power, but do something with yourself. Make, accomplish something with your life. Kaf is what has actually come into my palm of my hand that has become mine, that has been actualized, that has been achieved. That's what, and what's a very beautiful thing to keep in mind is man is described as the yitzir kapov shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Very mystical term. Man is the creation of the kapov, the palm. How do we describe it? Man is Adam Rishon, the yitzir kapov. Who invented that? Who coined that expression? Man is the creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the yitzir, the creation of the palm, the kaf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chof somehow relates to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creation. Now let me give you some... Yeah?
In Shemini, you have the animals
to
walk on
their... on the sole of their foot.
Kof is a monkey.
Oh, but wait, that's a little kof. Kof. Okay, let's see. Now let me give you some other examples. Okay, let me give you some other examples where the word chof. Now I don't know the significance, but obviously there's so many examples in Tanakh, it must show that this is a very powerful letter. You have to think of some more deeper in meaning. Kaf achas malaya ketores, the ketores, what the spoon of ketores. What greater thing is there? It's the school of everything great in the world that represents the nachas ruach to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And how do we present our nachas ruach with a kaf? Kaf achas zohov malaya ketores. Yegia kapecha kisoicha lashrecha v'tovlach. Kapecha means your accomplishments. It means a spoon which holds the ketores, your accomplishments. On Sukkos, kapos tamarim, you take a lulav branch, you shake the lulav, you make the bracha on the lulav. You don't make the bracha on the esrog, you don't make the bracha on the hadasim of the aravos, you don't make a collective bracha on the dalminim, asher kedushan b'mitzvah zizonu al nitilas lulav. What is the lulav? It doesn't say the word lulav in the Torah. Kapos tamarim, a branch of a palm tree. Kapos, and that's the bracha, and that represents simcha. Think about it. That represents the samachta lifnei Hashem Elokecha when you shake the lulav. The other things don't really shake. I don't know about you, the esrog doesn't seem to shake too much. You shake it. The lulav, everyone is rattling the lulav. That's the yikra simcha. And what is that? The kapos tamarim, the kaf. It alludes to yigia kapecha. Accomplishment. Yegia kapecha kisocha lashrecha v'tovlach. And then Yaakov, one more, Yaakov Avinu, the Git Hanoshe, Vayiga Bekaf Hayarech, Golis, the whole existence of Klai Yisrael and Golis is because the kaf of the Yorech has been dislodged. That mice of a similar bonum where the Esav, he was Pagea Bekaf Hayarech, he injured the kaf. And until Mashiach will come, Yaakov is limping. Everything that happens to Shalshalas Haderos is Merumis, and we're limping. Klal Yisrael is limping through Golis because the calf has been dislodged. Halay Davar? Very, what's going on with Chaf on Yom Kippur? The calf, that's the sole of your foot. Okay, so Moshe Shalach Na'aglecha, you had Kaf. Okay, another example on Yom Kippur. You bring in, you go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim four times to bring in the Ketores and to sprinkle the blood. But the first time you go in is for the Ketores and it's on a Kaf. And the last time, what do you do the last time? This is an amazing insight. What do you do the last time? I mean, you go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim for no purpose other than to retrieve an empty Kaf. That's very interesting. Why do you have to go on Yom Kippur? Why is that part of the Avoda to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim to retrieve the Kaf? Go tomorrow. What do you have to do on Yom Kippur? Go when Yom Kippur is over, you'll go in and you'll someone will retrieve the Kaf in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The fact that it's being done on Yom Kippur, I don't know what it means, but it's something very deep. There's an Avoda on Yom Kippur of just going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim to retrieve a chaf. Kaf. Kaf is a chaf. What? What's going on here? I don't know. But obviously there's something to think about. To go, this is the last avoda of Yom Kippur. Go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and take out a chaf. The letter chaf. The letter chaf is a kaf. Kaf is the spoon. The spoon which was used to offer the Ketores. So there's something right there. What else? Rosh Hashanah. We blow shofar. What do you say? You blow shofar. Kol ha'amim Taku chaf. Tiku chaf. Tiku to blow. But it really means the pasuk, join hands. Hands across America. Tiku chaf. Kaf is your palm. Join hands. So make a drasha. Why do we say it's on the farsh? The reason why we say tiku chaf is tiku means to blow. Chaf is bigamatria. Chaf pei. Pei is 80. Chaf is 20. 100. How many colors do you blow in Rosh Hashanah? 100 colors. Tiku, blow, chaf. Rosh Hashanah, the ultimate tefillah. The ultimate tefillah. Tiku chaf. What are we blowing to? I told you the sound of the shofar is tes. Remember that on Friday? Last week? We blow toif, tut. We blow the sound of the shofar's letter tes. But the way it's described is tiku chaf. Blow 100. Chaf. Join hands. So I just want to point out there are a lot of very significant things about the letter chaf. Now I think, I'm telling you now, really, definitely, somehow connects everything we said. And brings out the really deeper meaning of what the letter Chaf is. Let's take a step back. What is Yud? We learned last week. Yud is Ki Beko Hashem Tzur Alon. Yud is probably the most mystical of all the letters. It's a little dot. It's Olam Haba. Hashem created this world with the Hey. The Olam Haba. It's a Rashi and Chumash. And this is not to be ashamed to say Kabbalah. These are Pshutim. Yud Hey. Hashem created this world with the Hey. The Olam Haba is the letter Yud. We know what that means. We have no idea what that means. But the letter Yud is Ruchnius, spirituality. Anything that's spiritual is beyond our senses of time and space. Okay, what Yud is Yod. We learned less Yud is Yod. I've got to tell you the most important pasuk. V'nasati lohem b'veisi uv'chem al-sai Yod v'shein. Yod is a mokum. Yud is a mokum, but it's a spiritual mokum. It's not a physical mokum. It's spirituality. The letter Chaf, there's one thing you walk away from the letter Chaf. One thing you walk away, it's to know, internalize that the letter Chaf represents the concept of time and space. Chaf is possibly the most gashmistical letter. Time and space. How do I know this? A person is not a bar oinshin until he's 20. 20 years have to pass in this world until you get a sense, oh, now I'm a bar oinshin. You need to go through another 20 years until, Chazal say, 40 is when you first become Yavdas. You're first able to really understand things. There were 20 generations until Avraham Avinu. The world began, 10 until Noach. And then 10 until the first one to be Makir. Who created this world? Avraham Avinu. 20 generations had to pass. 20 years have to pass in your life to become Bar Oinshin, to be responsible for your actions. 20 years further must pass to come to us after you're responsible. Now that I'm responsible, I have to be able to develop further, to become mature. Another 20 years until 60. 60 is another very significant cutoff point. Another very significant time. Everything in time is viewed in terms of 20. There are more examples I can't remember. Now what about space? If you make a mavoi and you want to make a koira, to be able to see, not to carry. What's the upper height? 20 anas. You want to make a sukkah. Until when are you aware that you're in a space in a sukkah? 20 amas. Hanukkah menorah. How high could the Hanukkah menorah go? 20 amas. Depth. How high? 20 amas. 20 amas is the max where a person can perceive of his space. There used to be a website, MySpace, went down the drain. Facebook completely obliterated them. And now Google Plus is overtaking them. But they used to go MySpace. What is your space? What is your space? Your space is 20 amas. The letter Chaf, and this theme, you have to look all over and over, it's a fascinating theme, is the letter Chaf represents time and space. And time and space is physicality. That's what this Olam Hazeh. Olam Haba, we don't know it's space. There does appear to be something called, but not the way we know it. Right? Like other life forms. Some of these science fiction expressions. But the letter Chaf represents this very beautiful idea of time and space. And that is something which obviously is very much related to understanding the significance of why everything in the Torah, the Kapos Tamarim and the Kafin Yom HaKippurim, Yigia Kapecha Kisoch Lashrecha V'Tovlach, that is why there's so much about the letter Chaf and time, and even money, for example. What is the smallest coin in the Torah? Shekel. Shekel. Money, the whole world, you know, the economy, the whole gashmistical world depends on money. Everything is that's gashmis. What is a shekel? The Torah for it's very it's a chaf. Okay, but I try to avoid saying go to the dictionary. There's no end. I try very hard to avoid that. Only like keser, the Gemara says. The Gemara says what is chaf? The Gemara says chaf is keser. That's safe. But to go to a dictionary, that's not safe. Then you take the word. What is chaf pei? Chaf pei. But what is the Torah four times tells us that a shekel is 20 gera. The essence of money is 20. What is kesef? The ultimate gashmias. Kesef is the ultimate shoresh of gashmias, of physicality. And what is physicality? The Torah four times. Don't make any mistake about it, the Torah says. I'm telling you four times. What is a shekel? 20 gera. 20 gera. So you see this theme appears over and over that the letter Chaf represents the idea of 20. Yosef. They sold Yosef for how much? 20 shkalim. What? For shoes. What is shoes? They bought with the 20 shkalim. Shoes represent also the ultimate gashmis. She'osali kol tzarki. With shoes, shoes represent that man conquers the animal kingdom. You step, you take leather, you put on your foot. Okay, that's a very deep idea, but they sold Yosef into slavery, which also represents the idea of physicality, a slave, someone serves you, and they took the money, they bought the money, they bought shoes with the money. Another, so you see such, I think, Yaakov Avinu, he worked. How long did Yaakov Avinu work? Slave. 20 years. 14 years for the two wives, plus another 6 years. And that is where he developed his entire family. 20. Time and space. He worked for 20 years to acquire his possessions in this world. What are his possessions in this world? His children, all the Shiftei Kol were born, Rachel was pregnant, everything was in there, all the children, plus every penny he earned was made during those 20 years. Time and space. It's incredible. The number, this number 20, that's at least something you should take away from all of these things. Now, let's run.
Psychologically,
yeah.
So this point where a person can absorb knowledge.
40, Hapa, right.
20.
Yeah.
That's when he absorbs it from his Hapa Rasa, from his blanco. Is empty. And after that, it becomes experience.
Okay. So you see this idea, time and space in this world, this world. Now let me just run through a couple of other things. There's some famous things. Bukhar. What is Bukhar? This you can say, Beis, Chaf, and Reish. Bukhar, why Bukhar? There are only three letters in the Alephates with the previous letter, where the letter is double the previous letter. Beis is double 1. 20 is double 10. And Reish is double Kuf, double 100. It's the first time where you go into doubles. Doubles of the digits, doubles of the tens, and doubles of the hundreds. That's why Bechar is a double portion, is these three letters. Beis, Chaf, Reish. Bechar gets double. So what is the Bechar? You take all the letters which represent the double. Okay, another important idea. The letter Chaf is together with the letter Lamed, the middle of the Aleph base. There are 22 letters of the Aleph, even numbers. That means the middle has to be number 11, number 12. So what's 11? The 11th letter is Chaf. And the next letter is Lamed. Lamed really is a Chaf. What is a Lamed? Lamed is a Chaf with a Vav on top. The Shoresh of the Lamed is a Chaf. So it's also significant that the center always represents the Panemius. The Panemius is the letter Chaf and Lamed Kol, which both have the Tzura of the letter Chaf. Now, let's discuss, just a few more short things. Make sure let's discuss the small letter. The smaller. Now, there's probably hundreds and hundreds and pages of interpretation. Probably in fact, all the letters. V'liv kaisa. Am Ravini came to cry for Sarah. V'liv kaisa. There's a small letter chaf. Why is there a small letter chaf? go on. I can't go on, but if you'll go to this medrash, you'll take out the storm, you'll be there for weeks going through all the interpretation why there's a small chaf. The similar reason why she was bas kof kibas chaf loinshin bas chaf kibas zayin liyoyfi. Okay, but why? So among the basic approaches is that Avraham Avinu did not cry a lot. He was nimayit. He did not cry for sorrow. He diminished. He purposely was nimayit in crying for sorrow for different reasons. Either number one, because she was a zakena, she lived a full life, so it's not proper to mourn too much for a woman who lives 127 years. Or because she died because of the Akedah. If you would cry too much, it would appear that he had charata for the Akedah. She died when she heard that Yitzchak Avinu did not die. So her death was related to the Akedah. So if you would cry too much, it might indicate that Avraham Avinu had charata over the Akedah, which was definitely not so. Therefore, he diminished crying, or it was enough time to cry because it was Erev Sukkot, or he did not cry because Yitzchak was not there. So that's one approach. Okay, there's a lot of mahalchim in this approach that is a small chaf, because Avraham Avinu was nimayit and crying for Sarah. Another popular approach is when you have a small letter, this is a pattern which appears over and over, is that when you have a small letter, the Torah is telling you, make believe the letter is absent and read the word without that letter in place. You have this with all the small and large letters, make believe it doesn't exist. If the letter doesn't exist, then instead of reading the Velif Kaisa, it would read Ulibita. Avraham Avinu cried for his daughter. Chazal tell us, according to one interpretation, Avraham Avinu had a daughter. Her name was Bakal. The Hashem Beirach es Avraham Bakol. He had a daughter, and her name was Bakol. Bakol had a daughter, and what happened to her, we do not know. Some say, so according to one interpretation, she died. She died, and when Avraham Avinu, he mourned, that's why Velif Kaisa, Vilabita, Gesundheit. Velif Kaisa, Vilabita. He cried for his daughter. And when he mourned for his wife, he mourned she died either. She died at the same time, for whatever, we don't know the whole story, at the same time that Sarah died. Or could be that she died years ago. And now when Sarah died, it stirred up memories of his daughter, so he cried for his daughter as well. There are the psychological thing, this person's tension, and then when a person is a breaking point, it opens up a wellspring of emotion that's been building up over a long period of time. Or others say that he died for his daughter. His daughter was alive, but a daughter without a mother is has a tremendous amount of tzar. A son needs a father, and a daughter needs a mother. Now that Sarah died, who is going to guide Avraham's daughter of Bakal? So he cried not just for his wife, he cried what's going to be the future of his daughter. We don't know what happened to his daughter, all this little Mizra Midrasha. That's what's another approach. The third approach is make believe the lechav is not there, but do not read it the v'labita, v'labesa, for her home. When Avraham Avinu's wife and Sarah died, Hotel Eshel closed down. Avraham planted an Eshel, Achila, Shesia, Ulevia, there were miracles, he was the center of Alina, he was the center of hospitality, and then when she died, Hotel Eshel closed down. So he cried, and that was a center for incredible Kiddush Shem Shemaim Kirov. He couldn't do it alone. The Mela, Livkois Lasara Ulebesa. Lasara Ulebesa, he cried for Sarah and the home that has been lost. Now, this idea is new to me. What I'm telling you now, I found it to be fascinating. This is an incredible idea. Incredible idea. That there's another person that would die many, many, many years later. And his name is Yaakov Avinu. How old was Yaakov when he died? 147. How old was Sarah when she died? 127. What's the difference between Avraham and Sarah and Yaakov? 20 years. Now listen to this incredible idea. There is a very strong relationship between a grandmother and the grandson. It's true. Think about it. Look at family relationships. First of all, there's a lot of talk about skipping a generation. Talk about who does this going to look like? Right? Who does he look like? The mother, the father, or the grandfather? The mannerisms. This all the bubbles will darshan forever. But there's also sons and daughters. There's a very powerful connection between a grandmother and her grandson. Very interesting. They're related. They're related in more ways than you can imagine. In fact, this blew my mind. Yaakov is called, is named after Sarah. What? I saw that. What are you talking about? Ki sorisa in Elokim va'anashim va'tuchal. What did the Malach say to Lo Yoim? Lo Yoimar Od. Lo Yoimar Od Yaakov. No, no, no. Ki Yisrael Yeshiv. Why Yisrael? Ki sorisa. You have prevailed. You have fought, you have prevailed. What is Sarah's name?
Sarah.
Lashon of Sar.
Princess.
Sarisa. Sar. Sarisa. The Malach said to Yaakov, you're not called Yaakov, you're called Yisro because Kisarisa. Who had the name of Sar? Sarah. There's a connection. They are connected in more ways than we understand. Therefore, the Torah indicates with the death of Sarah, Sarah should have lived another 20 years to match her namesake, to match Yaakov. Another 20 years to live to the age of 147. Why the Chazal tells? Why did, because she said, Yera Hashem beni veinecha, Yishmet Hashem beni veinecha, when she complained to Avraham Avinu with regard to a Hagar. Hagar. So she said to Hashem, she was Moisa Dina Lashamayim. Chazal says she never do that because look what happened to her. She died early because she was Moisa Dina Lashamayim. She died prematurely. So let's say she would have died full life. How long would she have lived? Well, she would have lived as long as Yaakov. Now you'll tell me, but Yaakov died also early. He died 33 years. Okay, I don't know that. That's another kasha. I don't know the answer to that kasha. Yaakov complained to Paro. Ma'at v'ro'im hayu yimei chayai. Ma'at v'ro'im. So he was
33
years. Okay, but Sarah could have lived like her namesake. That's just the idea. They related. Sarah and Yaakov. She could have lived another 20 years. And that's why the chaf is small. Unbelievable. Now let's just, we're running out of time. Let's go to another idea. There's a tradition. We don't follow this tradition. That there is a large chaf in the his makartem. I don't know if I'm saying that right. In the toichecha. In the toichecha, it says that you'll be sold as slaves. Things get really bad. And you'll try to sell yourselves as slaves. And no one's going to want to buy you. No one's going to want to buy you. The chaf of that word is large. It's the only large chaf in Chumash. By the way, the chaf of Kaisa is the only small chaf in the entire Tanakh. There's no other small chaf. What about large? There are two large chafs, which are both discussed. There's only one large chaf in Chumash, and that's v'his makartem. We don't do that. It's not our tradition. But it's brought down that there's supposed to be a large chaf. Whatever reason, we don't have a large chaf, but it's brought down and it's discussed. Why is there a large chaf in that? Why is there a large chaf in that? V'his kamartem. So some want to say a very, very scary idea. The reason why there's a large chaf is that pasuk is alluding to the story of Purim. And that's exactly what. When was that part of the Toichecha fulfilled? Where you will try to sell yourselves as slaves, and no one's going to want to buy you. It was fulfilled in the time of Purim. Purim, the part of the edict, part of the decree of Haman of Ahasuerus, no one is allowed to buy a Jew as a slave. Says the Medrash that this klala of v'his makartem was fulfilled in the time of Purim. And no one, now this is an incredible idea, and the title of Purim, now let's say no one, and then they go another step further. Why was that part of the Gezerah? That no one is allowed to buy a Jew as a slave. The Jew must be killed. There's nothing the Jew is good for. He has to be destroyed. No slaves. See, is why? Because Chazal tell us it was a punishment for Mechiras Yosef. Because they sold their brother as a slave, even in the time of Megillah, Hashem is still punishing us for Mechiras Yosef. Therefore, in order to remind us, there's a large chaf, because how much do they sell Yosef for?
20.
20 coins. So in order to connect all the dots, so it's very funny how all this goes together. The time of Purim, the Gzer was fulfilled, and it's alluded to, it says in the Medrash, in the Teich of Hiskam Artem, and that's why there's a large Shchav, as a punishment for selling Yosef for 20 Shchav. shkalim. Okay, there's also there's a large chaf. There's a large and also going further than that. That's also why was the Yeshua come from Mordechai and Esther? Because they were from Shevet Binyamin, and Shevet Binyamin was the only Shevet that was not a partner in Chiras Yosef. Okay, where else is there a large chaf? Is also discussed at great length. There's a pasuk in Tehillim. V'chano asher nata yimincha v'al ben amatsta loch. And this pasuk refers to David the asking Hashem to take care of Eretz Yisrael, the base. V'chano Hashem, please protect the foundation. The kano means the nest. The nest or kena, foundation, the nest, asher nota yemincha, which your right hand has planted. Hashem, you have planted in this world a nest for yourself. That nest is Eretz Yisrael. Or someone, that nest is the Jewish people. And the chaf of that, and the chaf of that kana is a massively large chaf. Why? So why is that chaf? So I don't really have a good answer. Some say that this entire parak goes is also learned is the whole parak there in Tehillim parak. This is Tehillim parak Pei is all discussing Esther, the miracle of Purim, and being the miracle of Purim, the whole Purim, the whole Tzar Purim partially came about because of Mechiras Yosef. So they want to connect that chaf to Mechiras Yosef. All right, it's a little bit of a stretch. Others want to say V'chanash Anato Yemincha refers to Avraham Avinu. David is saying, "Ribono shel Olam, have rachmanis upon the Jewish people. They are the nest which your right hand has planted. They are the child which you have strengthened." When did Klal Yisrael begin? Avraham Avinu. How many generations did Avraham Avinu come into this world? 20 generations since Bria from creation. And therefore, to emphasize that we're referring to Avraham Avinu, who is the 20th generation, and at that point in time, the nest of Klal Yisrael began to develop, there is a large ches. Oh, a large chaf. A large chaf. A large chaf. Okay. Okay, that pretty, yeah.
People say that the beginning of Yiddishkeit came with Yaakov, and 20 years...
Okay, there are different...
From the time that Rivka from the Suah until his birth was 20 years.
Okay, there are different interpretations, there are different layers of interpretation. Okay, just one last riddle. Okay, to conclude with this long list, real, there's a pasuk in Yeshaya. It's a cute. I have no idea what the significance is. You'll say this for the next time you go in Yeshaya. There's a pasuk in Yeshaya, Perek Chav Dalef, pasuk Aleph, where there are 12 chavs in a row. It's very bizarre. I don't know if you have anything like this in any other letter in the Aleph base. The Hoya, it's Musar. That's what's going to become of Klai Yisrael. The Hoya, Ke'om, Ke'koyen, Ke'eved ke'adoinav, ke'shivcha ke'gvirta, ke'koine ke'moicher, ke'malve ke'loive, ke'noitel ka'asher noishebo. So there's one passage describing that the people who think that they're in charge, the role reversal. The world's going to be all tzimished. Everyone's going to be the poor become rich, rich will become poor. Everyone's fortune is going to change. And there are 12 chafs in a row. 12 chafs, that's a lot of chafs. So what's the significance? I do not know, but it's something unique.
When did you pick it up?
Where did I pick this? Yichil Michel Stern Sefer. One other last thing. This I really like. This is a good idea. I like this. The chaf in Tanakh. Okay, what does the chaf mean? So many times you use chaf ha-dimyoin. Kinega nearly babais. It looks like a nega. I don't know. Maybe yeah, maybe not. It's called chaf ha-dimyoin. Chaf ha Dimyon, I don't. It looks maybe, yeah, maybe not. Imaginary. What is chaf? Chaf also represents the palm of your hand. Yigia kapecha. Chaf is kaf, your palm. Ki soichel ashrecha v'tov lach. The whole world. So the chaf on the one end is the letter which represents dimyonis. You're living in a world what's a good word?
Imaginary.
Imaginary world.
Imagery.
Imagery. You're hallucinating. You live in a world of called dimyonos. You're in dreamland. You're in dreamland. It also means I got something. Chof yigia kapecha. The money's in the bank. The money's in my pocket. So you know what the musar is? The musar is you live in a world we think that we have accomplished $1 million in the bank. You have this and that. Yigia kapecha. It's a big dimyon. the kaf, what you have in the palm of your hand, it's a dinyoin. You have nothing in this world. Everything in this world comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything comes from Him, and if He doesn't want, it's gone. So what's Yigia Kapech, you have to be makir. You have it. But it's the Chof HaDinyoin. The only thing that you really have is what Hashem gives you. If Hashem doesn't give you, you have nothing. Very powerful Musa. Chof is Dinyoin, and it's Kaf. The two are two sides of the same coin. What you have in your Kaf, it's only imaginary. Okay, have a wonderful Chof. Have a good day.